Hey guys, and welcome back to ID Sports. This is Bob, and today we are talking about the NFC South. Thank you for joining us at ID Sports. Okay, so Steve, NFC South, you call this the most interesting division in football more times than one. We're going to find out if that's true. I think we're going to disagree on a little bit going on here, but let's start right away. Let's talk
Before we start, like what?
I'm letting you talk.
Well, the thing is we have three quarterbacks in this division who have all had MVPs or have made multiple Pro Bowls and stuff like that. I mean,
coronavirus year where there are new quarterbacks not in the same with new head coaches. So, Okay, let's get into it, and you can fight your battle one team at a time. The New Orleans Saints, they were 13-3 last year with an impressive 7-1 away record. They were 5-1 in division and had a positive 117 point differential on their way to winning the NFC South. Here's how that offense broke down in 2019. You had Drew Brees, 281 completions for 2,979 yards, 24 touchdowns, and only 4 interceptions over 11 games. You also had Teddy Bridgewater, 133 for 1,384 yards, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions over his 5 starts. Alvin Kamara rushed the ball 171 times for 979 yards and 5 rushing touchdowns. He also had 81 grabs for 33 and 1 touchdown. Latavius Murray, 146 rushes for 637 and 5 touchdowns. That is rushing. He also had 34 grabs for 235 and 1 touchdown receiving. Michael Thomas, 149 grabs, 1,725 yards, 9 touchdowns receiving. Jared Cook, 43 grabs for 705 and 9 receiving touchdowns. Now, there were a lot of other offensive contributors. Thank you for ignoring our little bloop going on there. Lots of offensive contributors, a lot of guys in the mix, but those are the main New Orleans Saints. When you look at these changes, they add Emmanuel Sanders, so I guess they have two capable wide receivers now. They drafted interior lineman Cesar Cruz with their first round pick and added Jameis Winston to back up veteran Drew Brees. Steve, the Saints.
Yeah, and you know, they're so interesting to look at on multiple fronts, but let's start at the quarterback, because if Drew Brees plays a full season, he's arguably still a top 15 quarterback. You know, this offense depends on heavily on timing and separation routes and the receivers getting yak. And, you know, Drew Brees and Peyton and, you know, Sean Payton, they just have a mind meld that just keeps this offensive system flowing, you know.
In coronavirus year, that's going to be so valuable to the system. Drew Brees, we know he's a known commodity at this point in his life. So let's talk about running backs a little bit. You have Alvin Kamara, who to me is actually a little bit disrespected. I know he's usually third, fourth, fifth, but for some reason, I feel like people stop talking about how good he is. And guys, stop not talking about Alvin Kamara. He should be in every conversation up there. He can catch the ball. He can rush the ball. Apparently, he had 7,900 rushing yards last season, which would put him first of all time. Now, I also love the talented 1-2 punch because I love Latavius Murray. I talk about him all the time as a backup. If something happened to Kamara, Latavius is a number one guy. I think he's going to have value on his own this year, Steve.
Exactly. You know, Alvin Kamara, he just played through so many injuries last year. So I'm not really going to hold that last season against him, you know, and I just have to say, if you own Kamara, you have to own Latavius Murray. In the two standalone games where Latavius Murray got the workload, he had over 100 yards in each game and 2 touchdowns in each game, 4 total touchdowns. You know, and
that's more. Latavius Murray had 6 touchdowns last year.
Mm-hmm.
Alvin Kamara had 6 touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
He's right up there. And I do want to correct. It was 797 rushing yards for Alvin Kamara on 171 touches. So these two guys go 1-1. Is there a better tandem 1-2 in the NFL besides Cleveland?
I really don't know. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Okay, so let's move on to wide receivers. Michael Thomas is a baller. 150 catches, not targets, 149 grabs, 1,725 yards, 9 touchdowns. He is another one. I think I could see his touchdown total get back up into double digits. I'm loving Michael Thomas. You're going to pay for him, as well you should. That's what I got. Yeah. That's what I got.
Yeah, I really want to focus on Emmanuel Sanders because he's going to be the number two receiver on this team. And I want to, and I did some deep diving into some analytics and stats and, you know, looking into whether you should take a flyer on Sanders or not. And, you know, because first off, Michael Thomas, he's going to have positive regression this year. That's just an undeniable truth. But I looked at recent times in recent years where Drew Brees supported three pass catchers, and you only have to look back to the 2016 season. That year, it was Brandon Cooks, Willie Snead, and Michael Thomas in his rookie year. You know, and all of them had over 70 catches. Cooks had 78 for 11.
Yeah, I can imagine that kind of spread is. I mean, Michael Thomas demands his touches, but yeah, absolutely. He's going right now. Emmanuel Sanders, 9th round, first pick. So let's just do a quick. I'm going to name a couple players around him. You tell me who you'd rather have.
Okay.
Emmanuel Sanders, Mike Williams.
Mike Williams, younger.
Emmanuel Sanders, Marvin Jones.
Sanders.
Emmanuel Sanders, Darius Slayton.
Slayton.
Okay. So I think he's kind of right where he's supposed to be in that 9th round. And if you pick him up as in the 9th round, he should be as, you know, kind of a bench spot at that point. And if he pops.
Yeah. I'll just say one more thing. You know, let's say that Emmanuel Sanders has a baseline of 78 catches for 1050 and 5 touchdowns. That's 174 points in half PPR or 10.78 points a game. I'll gladly take my chance on that as a wide receiver 2 or 3.
Absolutely, as a plug and play, as a fill in injury type guy. Hey, deep rosters now, coronavirus deep rosters. But we got to move on to the next team up, and that is the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons went 7-9 in 2019, giving up 399 points and scoring only 381. They did finish with a 4-game winning streak, but missed the playoffs. They were somehow 4-2 in division, but 3-7 outside of their division. Let's take a look at their offense. We have Matt Ryan, 408 passes for 4,466 yards, 26 touchdowns, and 14 interceptions. We also have Devonta Freeman, 184 rushes for 656 and 2 touchdowns. He also had 59 catches for 410 and 4 receiving touchdowns. Brian Hill had 78 rushes for 323 and 2 touchdowns rushing. He also had 10 catches for 69 yards and 1 touchdown. Julio Jones, 99 catches for 1,394 yards and 6 touchdowns. Austin Hooper, 75 grabs for 787 and 6 touchdowns. He also had Calvin Ridley, 63 grabs for 866 and 7 receiving touchdowns. Now, there were many other offensive contributors, including Russell Gage, Mohamed Sanu, but this team did not get it done in 2019. Now we look at the changes. Devonta Freeman out, Todd Gurley in. They also lost tight end Austin Hooper, but they did acquire Hayden Hurst in that trade. So, outlook, Steve, let us know. Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, and, you know, I really don't have much to say on Matt Ryan. You know, he's going to be every year he's a top 10 quarterback with top 5 upside. There's not much to say there when it comes to Matt Ryan.
I feel like it's every other. It's every other year he has great year, bad year, great year, bad
year. He really hasn't had, bad years for the team. And bad years as a quarterback doesn't necessarily translate to bad years statistically in fantasy.
He was quarterback 11 last year. That's not where I want him. Let's look at 2018. Where is he?
I would say that he was maybe quarterback seven.
Quarterback two. Let's look at the year before, 2017. Quarterback 15. 16?
Quarterback what in 2016?
Was going year last year was 12, then he was 2. The year before that, he was 17. The year before that, he was 2. So every other year, you're going to produce, which means law of averages. Guess what this year, guys? Matt Ryan, Atlanta Falcons. Now, again, we said quarterback in a system he knows. I think he's going to get the job done to be one of those top guys. to be quite honest, I prefer quarterbacks on bad teams because you know they're going to be throwing for four quarters, as opposed to, you know, quarterbacks on great defenses, like on your Steelers, where maybe he's not going to be throwing in the fourth quarter at all, like zero fourth quarter passes. So I love Matt Ryan. Todd Gurley is the player I really want to talk about. I really like him in 2020. I think injury concerns were a little overblown. He did have his touches limited last year, 254 total touches, which is down almost 100 from where he was. But that still landed him as running back 14, and his ADP right now is running back 25. So you're getting a whole round of value on him.
ADP of 25? Are you serious? Oh my goodness, give me shares of Todd Gurley. I will take him.
11th pick. Fifth round, 11th pick is where he's going right now. And I think part of the reason these Atlanta backfield had a lot of catches, carries, going to weird players. They're going to consolidate that and give it to Gurley. Rams wanted to get rid of Gurley because he had too big of a contract and he wasn't what they wanted. But Atlanta has no reason not to just run him into the ground. They're not invested in his future. So get me some Todd Gurley. What about these receivers, Steve?
The receivers, all I'm going to say is I think Julio is still going to be Julio. I mean, you know, he's going to have like a bajillion yards, but almost no touchdowns. I really like Calvin Ridley to have a bounce back year because he had a couple of injuries last year. But you know, his rookie year really gave me a lot of encouragement with those 12 touchdowns. But I really am looking forward to seeing what Hayden Hurst can do, because Hayden Hurst flashed in Baltimore, and you know, but that was on a team.
He was a young tight end. This, I believe this is his third year in the league. So it's going to be time to step up sometime in the next 2 years. Can he be Austin Hooper? Can we just talk about how great of a player Austin Hooper was? He had the ability to find himself completely wide open with no one around him, 20 yards down the field, and then do it again the next play. It doesn't make any sense. He's not a small guy, but that's a step down. We have to say that's a step down for 2020.
I'm not going to say that because, like I was saying, Hayden Hurst flashed in Baltimore, and when he had his chances, he was really good. So, you know, that was in Baltimore, where they have like four or five tight ends on their roster. So let's see what he can do now that he doesn't have any competition.
He's currently going a 9th round, 11th pick, too rich for my blood. So that's a yes from Steve and a pass from Bob. Let's move on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay, they went 7-9 in 2019 and did it by going 2-6 at home and 5-3 on the road. What is going on, guys? They were 2-4 in division and had a +9 point differential. Their offense was as follows. Jameis Winston, 380 passes for 5,109 yards, 33 touchdowns, and 30 interceptions. He also had 59 carries for 250 and one touchdown. Ronald Jones Jr., 172 rushes for 724 and six touchdowns. Also had 31 catches for 309. Peyton Barber, 154 rushes for 470 and six touchdowns. And he also had 16 catches for 115 yards and one touchdown. Chris Godwin, 85 grabs, 1,333 yards and nine touchdowns. Mike Evans, 69 grabs for 1,157 and eight touchdowns. Rashad Perryman, 36 grabs for 645 and six touchdowns. There were many other contributors with lesser roles, including Cameron Bray, Dare Ogunbowale, OJ Howard. The list goes on. But when we talk about these main guys, Jameis is out, the leading passer from 2019. I say that very hesitantly because you could say he threw 63 game-changing passes last year.
Yeah.
Turnovers were obviously a problem, and Jameis is on his way out. He got eye surgery to fix the problem. I don't know, was that going on? Fixing the problem with that eye surgery. But they have quarterback Tom Brady now. They also added left tackle Tristan Wirfs, someone I wanted for the New York Giants quite a bit. In the third round, they added Keyshawn Vaughn at running back, who could be a name to know this season. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Steve, what do we think?
I think that this team is going to be pretty interesting with Brady at the helm. You know, you look back at the 2017.
Two things, Steve. Can you specify?
What do you mean?
Like interesting good or interesting bad?
I'm going to say good interesting, because, you know, you look back at that 2017 season where Brady had Gronk, Cooks, and Amendola at wide receiver because Edelman had the ACL, and there is hope that, you know, Brady can support a loaded offense with a lot of talent. This is the most talented offensive roster he has had since his 2007 season.
Easily. Now, this is a Bruce Arians team, so I'm conflicted. I think it could be relevant in the offensive sector, Tom Brady. But part of me is also thinking, man, he's getting old. He did not look good last year. And I think they traded the explosiveness of Jameis Winston. And there was a lot of explosions, positive and negative, in 2019. A lot of explosions.
That's an understatement.
They changed that explosiveness for the kind of boring consistency of a Tom Brady. Now, this kind of reminds me of what happened kind of in the opposite player pool when they brought in who was the Giants coach that they brought in?
Joe Judge?
No. Last year, 4 years ago. McCarthy. He was in the McCarthy tree.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
But either way, they said we're gonna fix the offense. We're gonna fix Eli Manning because Eli's throwing too many interceptions. And what happened? Interception fumbles went down. Touchdowns plummeted also. So I think that's gonna happen. 33 touchdowns is not going to happen. I could see 25, and I think that hurts the targets a little bit. I think that hurts Godwin and Mike Evans. They're just unbelievable players. I don't know. I'm conflicted, and it does not get my seal of approval. I have Chris Godwin as the 12th round sleeper, and I love him there. But I think these targets are going to be going a little too high. I think the hype is a little too real.
I really want to talk about the Buccaneers backfield because this is, this is going to be interesting to watch because I'm really invested in Ronald Jones this year. He is
Barber
definitely
is way out. I don't think we mentioned that in the moves. Peyton Barber is gone. So now it is Ronald Jr., Sean Vaughn.
Yeah. And, Ronald Jones is getting the first and second down work. And I think that in third down passing situations, Keyshawn Vaughn will be in the mix. However, remember this, that last year in a split backfield between Rojo and Barber, both had over 150 carries, but Barber had more yards. Yes, he had 20 more carries, but he had over 200 more yards than Peyton Barber. Now, the offseason trope is that Rojo has been working on his receiving skills, and I'm not looking much into tropes. However, if Ronald Jones is able to add receiving into his skill set and gets 90% of the first and second down load, you could really make the case for Rojo to be a top 10 back this year because he was already pretty darn good with running the ball. He had 6 touchdowns rushing and, assuming that he gets at least 80% of Peyton Barber's work, that would already make him a pretty darn good back when it came to rushing. But if he's able to add receiving into that, then he could really be good.
Where you're wrong. I agree that if he had 90% of the first and second down work, he would be great. And if he grabbed some third down work, that would be fine too. We must be reading different articles because everything I read is hype train for Keyshawn Vaughn, saying that he'd be a total three down back, that he can be the guy. I think it's going to be the other way around. I think first and second down are going to be a split. They're going to be a split. It's not 90-10. It's 60-40, 70-30. Absolutely. Maybe the first couple of weeks, Ronald Jones is the lead guy getting more touches. Keyshawn Vaughn can easily take this backfield. It's ripe to be taken.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Anyone. I mean, that's what I'm reading. I'm reading that they got him because
I'll tell you why.
Three down back.
I'll tell you why I'm fully on for Rojo because after the draft, Bruce Arians and all of them said specifically they drafted Keyshawn Vaughn to be a receiving back. They also said that they drafted Keyshawn Vaughn in the fourth round when they had a chance to take a running back in the second round because they believe in Ronald Jones.
I'm okay with that justification. However, Ronald Jones has nearly lost this job every year since he's been a pro, and I think he will nearly lose the job again this year. And Keyshawn Vaughn is a player that I like. Now, Keyshawn Vaughn is going 9th round 12th pick, And Peyton Bar, Ronald Jones Jr. is going 7th round, 12th picks. Both at the end of the respective rounds. You can get Ronald Jones Jr. 2 rounds early. I can't see myself holding on to very many. Vaughn in Dynasty.
Vaughn in Dynasty, yeah. He's a Keyshawn Vaughn in Dynasty is a late first round, early second round pick, in my opinion.
Okay, so even though Ronald Jones Jr. is so solid in this position, and he's a young guy himself, he's so solid, he's rock solid. He's the first and second guy in the carry, but somehow he's also in jeopardy in the long run of losing the job.
We'll just see how it goes. I mean, you know, statistically, Ronald Jones did better than Peyton Barber. So, you know, the stats also show it right there, too.
All right. So let's move on. Carolina Panthers are up next. Now, the Carolina Panthers were 5-11, finished last place in the NFC South last season. They won only one division game, and they scored 340 points, one of the lowest in the NFL. Let's see how this Panthers offense broke down. Bunch of quarterbacks, Cam Newton and Will Greer, only played two games each. We had Kyle Allen, 303 passes for 3,322 yards, 17 touchdowns and 16 interceptions. You had Christian McCaffrey, 287 rushes, 1,387 yards and 15 touchdowns. That's an amazing season right there, but there's more. 116 catches for 1,005 yards and 4 receiving touchdowns. Now you had DJ Moore, 87 grabs, 1,175 yards and 4 touchdowns. You had Curtis Samuel, 57 grabs for 627 and 6 receiving touchdowns. And you had Greg Olsen, 52 grabs for 597 and 2 receiving touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Steve, there were some changes made to this team. Greg Olsen out. Panthers did let go of former off-injured MP Cam Newton. They did add quarterback Teddy Bridgewater, who had a very decent 2019. They brought in Robbie Anderson to help out this offense, and the Panthers were the only NFL team to draft only defensive players. So they know they're in a rebuild. You don't draft only defensive players if you don't know you're in a rebuild. The Panther, what are you going to say? What are you going to say about this team?
I'm going to keep my comments mostly to the quarterback situation because we can both agree Christian McCaffrey, top two pick, he's still going to be a superstar. Yeah. And, you know, and the wide receivers aren't going to be interesting, but we'll get to that. But I want to touch on Teddy Bridgewater because Matt Rhule handpicked Teddy to be the quarterback, not only based on skill, but based on respect. Teddy Bridgewater is low-key one of the most respected players in the NFL. I would not have believed it, but I was listening to a podcast back on my birthday in June 6th, and Matt Rhule was doing an interview with them, and he said from his mouth, "I wanted Teddy Bridgewater because he is so respected around the league," and you know. The Panthers had the draft capital to try and go after a quarterback if they wanted to. They had the 9th pick. If that team really wanted to try to draft a quarterback for the future, they could have packaged a deal to try to move up to get one of those quarterbacks. But they didn't, and instead they opted to get Bridgewater. And the Panthers, low key again, have a great assortment of wide receivers. You have DJ and Robbie Anderson who will be playing on the outside with Curtis Samuel who will be playing in the slot. You know, yes, tight end is a huge question mark for this team, but I don't think anyone's going to be targeting a Panthers tight end this year's fantasy draft.
I can't see many people targeting more than two Panthers players on this entire roster.
Yeah.
Matt Rhule. I guess we didn't talk about that. Ron Rivera is out. He's now in Washington cleaning up that mess, which is not a job that I would envy. Bringing Matt Rhule, cleaned up Temple, turned Baylor into a winning team. So he's the cleanup guy. He's the cleanup guy. He's not the franchise guy. He's the guy. When you bring Matt Rhule in when you know you have problems. That's it. This is a two-win team. This is a two-win team in 2019.
I'm gonna say four wins. And just one more thing for dynasty wise, if I'm in the 15th round and Robbie Anderson is still sitting there, I am going to take a flyer on him if I don't get Christian McCaffrey or DJ Moore, just to see what his upside could be.
All right. I got nothing else. That's the Panthers. I mean, we went from the highs and the highs to the lows of the lows. You got Bridgewater changing teams in division. You got some other stories going on here. Is there anything else you want to finish up with today, Steve, before we head out?
I'm just going to say that, you know, I'm really skeptical about the training camp situation. I know that the NFL has, the union of the NFL has been making a insurmountable difference, because when the players all tweeted on Sunday, like the NFLPA, they got a lot of stuff done, and we have a lot more clarification on how this season's going to look.
Absolutely. Everyone else is doing it in the bubble. I think it's a safe way to go. I can't get excited for traveling. Yeah, it's going to be a mess, but you know what? Put the money where the mouth is. They're going to be playing. They're going to give it a go.
Yeah.
No preseason.
Yeah. That'll be very interesting.
We're going to do a little schedule show. There's some first games, and I talked about them last night in our little group chat, that are just going to be just a mess. So,
wasn't it Decal who said that week one is just going to be absolutely atrocious?
I mean, yes, and we agree, but we'll get more specific later on another show, guys. Thank you for watching IED Sports. Have a great week.